Okay, I'm JJ Shrek. I live over in Ward One. I was a law enforcement officer with City of Carroll for 14 years. Medically retired almost exactly 1 year ago. I guess my reason for being here is I feel like I am a public servant by nature and want to continue to be able to serve the city. So that's, I guess, why I'm here.
I'm Tom Bordenaro. I own and operate Bordenaro's Meat Market. I was with Pella Corporation prior to that for 20 years and Hy-Vee for 10 years prior to that. And I feel the same way. People have asked me to come forward and step up and try to help guide the city in some way, whatever. Was it my lifelong goal to be on city council? No, but I've had enough people ask me that I finally felt that it was the right thing to do. So here I am to explain myself to you guys and talk and whatever I can do to help out. So that's my nutshell.
Well, good afternoon, and thank you for having us here with you today. My name is Clay Haley. I've been here in Carroll since 2008. I was born here, grew up in Wall Lake, and got to move back. I helped operate my family's farm equipment business out in the west side of Carroll here. We also have a place in Rockwell City. It's been my privilege to be one of your city council people in Ward 3 for the last 8 years. And I look forward to trying to help, listen, and work together to continue making Carroll a great place to live.
My name is Kyle Bauer, Ward 3 candidate, born and raised in Carroll, graduated from Carroll High School in 2010, currently a general manager at New Way Ford in Coon Rapids. I have two of my own businesses as well, a rental property business and then a snow removal business that I operate as well. I'm running just to give people a choice and then let people be heard too, because I feel like in the past that hasn't always happened.
Hi, thanks for the invitation. My name is Jay Norgard and I'm a native of Carroll. I did live in Sioux City and Sioux Falls for a few years. Came back when I started having kids. And our family owned Barnabakken on the east side of town, and since sold it. And I feel like Carroll, is the best small-medium-sized town in Iowa, certainly, if not the country. And I thought it was a good opportunity for me to serve and hopefully keep it that way, maybe make it better. So. I have three boys and a wife of 32 years. I got that wrong at KCIM, and let me tell you, I found out. So. But anyway, that's all I have right now.
Right, and I'm Jerry Fleshner, and I'm on the city council now, and I've chosen to run for mayor at this time. I want to tell you something about Rotary. First of all, thank you so much for all you do for the city and all across the country, too. It's a tremendous organization. I've always respected you. And the first time I want to tell you that I was ever here was in 1975 at the invitation of Rotary, and I was a high school kid. Did an extemporaneous speech, drew a topic out, and it's gun control. Okay? So it shows you that nothing much has changed. What are topics today? You know. By the way, the singing, much better. The same song?
I don't know if we agree with that.
Top notch.
So, yeah. Dr. Martin wasn't here when we saw him. He would probably be a little critical.
I know now. I get it. So I'm running for mayor because I want some continuity. I was hoping for continuity as we go forward into a new time. We will have a new mayor no matter what, so I thought it would be nice to have someone that's interested already, that's been in city politics already. I have three kids. Two of them live in town. Matthew's my son, he's a pharmacist. Brian's my other son, he's a dentist. And then my daughter happens to live in Japan right now because her husband is in the Navy. And they have full intentions of coming back to Carroll when he's done in 3 years with his time with the Navy. He will retire then and they're coming back here. So I have some vested interest in the future of Carroll, not just for myself, not just for you people, but also for my kids that I know will also be back here. So I just like to be a part of where we go from here forward. And thanks very much again for having us.
I am Mark Beardmore, also a candidate for mayor of the city of Carroll. First off, the rumors of my demise were greatly exaggerated. I can't tell you how good it is to be before you today, and when I say good, that means really good to see you. And this isn't how I planned to see you again, but when I found out about these young candidates putting their names forward and in what I believe will truly be a conservative move towards city government, I got energized and really excited about them, and I offered them, you know, my assistance or stay out of their way. And the first thing I told them I'd try and do is find them a candidate to run for mayor. And I set out to do that, and apparently I've lost my sales skills because I had five or six polite no's, but they all said the same thing. They said, why don't you do it? And oddly enough, it was getting down close to the deadline, and it was a Saturday, and Pam asked me if I'd found anybody, and she said, why don't you do it? And I thought it was a communist plot or something, but they were all conspiring, and I said, are you serious? And she goes, yeah. She says, Mark, you'd be great for Carol, and it would be good for you. So I'm running, and it wasn't exactly what I had planned, and I'm a planner, I'm a strategist. This is very un-Mark Beardmore-like. But, you know, I have heard so much discontent and lack of trust with city government, you know, based on some of the actions that they've taken in recent years. And people really have asked me to try and get that corrected. And I hope to be able to accomplish some of the things they're asking for. Remember, it's just a two-year term. And so hopefully, once elected, we'll hit the ground running November 3rd. And I just hope that I can earn your support and mostly your votes and become the next mayor of Carroll, Iowa. Thank you.
Okay, now it's just going to be kind of an open forum. So we're just anybody with...
Let's go the opposite way.
Okay.
So we'll start with Mark with the first question.
Sure, okay. So we'll go the opposite.
Unless it's directed right at somebody.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. But, yeah. So this is going to be an open question. Anybody have any questions for Mark right off the bat?
I've got one I'd like to start with.
Sure.
You said there's a lot of... You've heard a lot of discontent about what's happened in city government. Could you just be more specific? You know, and, you know, kind of address what you're hearing?
Yeah. Absolutely. Have I got 1 minute to respond? It might be a little difficult. There's a lot of discontent. And I would say if I named off a lot of things, it would be things that actions that have already been taken, Rich. So we can't reverse them, you know. I mean, they're what's done is done. I personally have experience where I've tried to contact the council members, and, you know, I've been dialed in with local government, as most everybody knows, and I always try and, you know, give them my advice, and a lot of it's extremely diplomatic and kind and never searing, and I, you know, have you considered this and have you considered that? I get crickets. I hear nothing back. And it's just, you know, they're constantly asking for feedback. They're surveying and you know, all of these web portals and stuff like that, but I don't think there's anybody listening. And so that's what I hear so much, and again, I just have personal experience with that. Secondarily, I would say the rec center decision, that people are really upset with that. You know, we had public referendum. It was soundly defeated, and the only thing that they did is they removed the pool out of it and then went ahead with the other $7 or $8 million. And that's essentially a reverse referendum. And people are rather upset with that. And finally, you know, I hear a lot about the $5 million streets building. And, you know, I don't know enough about it, you know, with what their needs are. I mean, $5 million, let's face it, sounds like a whole lot of money. But again, in today's age, you know, perhaps it's not. And I frankly don't know enough about what all went into it. But I've heard a lot of discontent about that. And that's probably the top three. But trust me, there's a lot more. And I'll share it with you anytime you want. Thank you.
I guess anybody who wants to respond to that should get up, beginning with you, Jerry. If you don't want to respond, then just don't.
Oh, I will respond then. I know Mark has actually, Ted said that he's not necessarily happy with our response to his questioning. I'm not going to promise that I answered every email that I ever receive, and that's true. Some from him I have, some from him I have not. I've taken some of them as being informational to me, and that's that. I mean, if I've erred in not replying to him, there are certainly venues that he can, or anyone else can reach me at, and I think the number one would be every meeting we have, we allow open discussions for people to come in and state their points. It's one of the first things we do because it's so important for people to be able to communicate with us. And that's a way to publicly get something out that you're interested in. So that's one thing. The other things that Mark mentioned, I guess I'll bring up the rec center. We had two votes at that time, and we clearly indicated that we would be spending money on our local option sales tax on fixing the rec center no matter what happened. Okay, so yes, we took the pool out. That cuts it down dramatically because the pool is quite expensive, but there are things in that rec center that absolutely have to be done. One is the HVAC system. This is a building that's quite old, okay? The HVAC system alone is going to cost maybe $500,000, even if we don't add anything to it. Well, that has to be paid for. That or we shut down the rec center. I don't think that's where we stand or that's what we want to do at this time. So we explored this. We listened to people, what they said. We said that we were going to plan on spending some money on the rec center regardless out of local option sales tax, which was passed. The maintenance garage, there are people unhappy with that. But I'm going to tell you something, that's the interest in that started in, not with me, it started in 2001, all right, with a study. Again, I know people don't like studies, but it was a space needs study for the city. From 2001 until 2021 that we finally gotten this done, none of these other people that were on the city council, There was no objection to this. It was always just a slow progress forward in a way to make this economical as much as we could. I'm just not happy with the price either. I wish it was $20,000. It's not going to be that way for that type of business. We did nothing different than the county did. The county built their own years ago when it was less expensive, but they built the same type, and they built that without a vote. So it's not any different. We're elected to make some responsible decisions on our own, And at least for me, I'm going to say that I felt I made decisions along the way that were in the best interests of all of us.
Jake? Right. Response to the first...
Do you want to respond?
No, I don't. I think that was...
Kyle?
Yeah, so kind of on the city maintenance building, my thought would be, you know, instead of spending the $5 million or something like that, is rehabbing the old building. And I'm not sure what the intentions are with the old building or what it's going to be used for, but you've got a nice structure that really new tin or paint goes a long ways, or insulation, versus spending $5 million. And when I drive by and look, I see a landlocked building with no room for expansion. To me, that just says, well, we're never going to grow, we're never going to get bigger. You have no room to add on there. So that's all I've got.
Give it to Ms. Schreck first, please.
I guess I don't have a whole lot much more to add other than to agree with Mark. Like, most people that contacted me were upset about the whole rec center issue, and I guess that's kind of where I stand as well. Like, spending money to update the rec center, I think, needs to happen. I just don't think it need to happen at the price tag at which we're looking at right now.
I do have a few words about the rec center, I guess. I was thinking more of the garage, But the rec center was built in 1977. Yeah, I was 11 years old, and my thoughts at first were the rec center shouldn't compete with Platinum Fitness and shouldn't compete directly with Anytime Fitness with 24-hour access, and I still believe that. A private business in Carroll should compete with city money. At the same time, the rec center is very important to Carroll. At 11 years old, I lived down there. I mean, I think every kid in Carroll did. And the rec center has to stay here. It has to remain relevant. We can't let it go to heck, like YMCAs and cities I see, and it's also a draw for an employer. Be able to say, look at the facilities that we can offer for your family. So the rec center also falls in to quality of life for the people in Carroll, and that can't be totally discounted. So that's all I have to say.
Yeah, personally, I don't have a stance, yes or no, on any of the things that have been said, other than the people have come to me. When I first started to do this, I got a phone call that said, you know, we got your paperwork, welcome to politics, we appreciate that, joining in our democracy, okay? And in our democracy, you get a vote. So that's what I'm here for. I don't want to get into an argument what's right or wrong with any of the situations right now. The sheer fact that the $5 million spent shows there's an overabundance of money somewhere. Where did it come from? You got to connect the dots, follow the money. Why was it not notified to the public that there was this expenditure out there that says, you know, we've got a lot of leftover money. What do we do with it? What kind of projects could we do? Could that have money gone, could it have gone to the rec center rather than starting what I consider another bill, okay? Let's get another loan because this one's about done. Well, I personally don't like a lot of loans. I'd rather pay them off before I start four more and figure out how to pay it later. So my stance on that is just neutral at this time. I'm just sharing with you what I've been asked by the community that was told to me in a democracy that if you vote on something, you should be able to stand behind that vote. And when it's voted down, it should stay down. So the key thing for me is to figure out, how do you get around these issues? How does everybody come together? When you vote, you stand behind the vote. That's what America is about. There's just some issues that are wrong that I'd like to try to get in and fix and help out with. I'm new to this. I don't know about budgets. I've been asked to look at budgets, but it means nothing to me right now because it's a little overwhelming. But when I get in and learn something, I'm good at it. I have a track record that shows that. And that's some of the things that I think we're all here to talk about, is doing the right thing, being fair and just. And a lot of it is black and white and common sense. And I think we've lost our way down this path somewhere about common sense. Does it make sense? Or are we just doing it for certain reasons? The rec center, does it bring more people to the community? Is it bringing more businesses? So if I could see a show of hands, how many businesses have come to Carroll in the last 5 years that really made a giant impact on our community? And I've said it in the first interview I did with radio, we have just stayed right at 10,000 people, never gone above that. And that's one of my questions getting into this is why? Where are we going? Now I know the new boards that are coming out, I think I saw that Tiefenthaler was just announced president of it. Some of those things you got to look at, we're spending all this money towards that in the chamber. What good is it doing us? If we're funneling all this money into these businesses or corporations, whatever you want to call them, where does the results come from? The studies that we've spent money on, time after time. There's been railroad studies that I know of. There's been the business interest, which we shelled out lots of money. Whatever came of those? Does anybody know what came of those? And where are they at now? Right on the docket. A lot of us don't know that, just the normal guys. And that's kind of what I'm here to help find out and see where all the money goes. I'm a normal guy. I just like to follow the money, connect the dots, see where it ends. So that's kind of my stance on it.
See, Bill, could I just say something? Tom, I will say this about whether it's the rec or the muni or the pool. As an employer in Carroll, that was a big draw. When we had people that we were trying to hire from to get from Sioux Falls or to get from Des Moines or Omaha to come to Carroll, it's hard to do. And it's hard to, especially if they have a family, it's, what do you got in Carroll? You know, at least the rec center was something that we were proud of to say, you know, first of all, we got two great golf courses. We got a great public pool now. And we got a rec center for the winters. It gets so long, there's a place for kids to go, hang out, play basketball. And I had employees in the past say, If it wasn't for the rec center, I wouldn't have considered the job in Carroll. So whether we get more people or not, I think we got to keep Carroll a friendly environment for our biggest employees, because for every employer. But if we lose a big employer in Carroll, we're going to be in a world of hurt. And we would hope we could see around that 10,000 mark, because I don't even want to think about losing a big employer in town. So I think it's important to keep what facilities we have healthy.
Great. Well, here's my reality is that this is great to listen around. I've heard some really nice discussion here. Mark, I can show you my responses to some of your emails, and I can show you some of them that I didn't respond to, so I'm sorry that you feel that you don't get response from us. A lot of your emails do come across as very informational, as Jerry said. But thank you for that information. It doesn't go unseen, it doesn't go unheard. So thank you so much for staying involved, and I am very glad that you are well. I remember you and I being here in Rotary and being able to do programs together, and you were always so good at getting our programs organized and having great presenters for us. So thank you for your service there as well. The fact of the matter for me in this election is that I have to beat him. Hi, Kyle. I'm pointing at you, buddy.
I know.
I don't think ill of him, of Kyle, but I've done a good job representing the people of Carroll the last 8 years. I'd like to continue doing a good job representing the people of Carroll. And anyone else in this panel is someone who I would look forward to working with in the future, no matter which of you get elected, except you, JJ. You're pretty well on cruise there, girl. And we're lucky to have you there, too.
Thank you.
Thank you for running all of you. But I would look forward to working with any and every one of you. The question was to Mark, what were those things that were contentious that people were dissatisfied with? The one thing I would caution is that we all remember we view things through our own lens. For me, this is about the people of the city of Carroll. And that's everyone from Sarah, the gal who brought us in our lunch today, to the largest corporation that's being run here, whoever's at the top of that. We all live here. This is our home. We need to work together to continue making it a great place in Western Iowa and the premier regional center in Western Iowa. Will there be things that we won't all agree on? Heck yes. But for everyone's belief and everyone's view through their own lens, we see things differently. And as a public servant, it's very difficult to be able to take that, apply your own feelings, but then set those feelings aside and make sure you do what's good for the collective whole. We all have to do our best. I honestly believe that anyone at this panel will do their best and will work hard for Carroll. So that's my bit of response.
Thank you very much for your responses. I think we have one other question here we can do.
Well, I'll try to keep it a little easier for you guys, so we can just do a little rapid fire. We just start with JJ and work around the room. So Carroll has studied train horn mitigation, removal of train horn noise when they come through town. We studied it to the tune of about $100,000 over the last 30 years. It was a quality of life issue, and that was actually espoused to Mayor Ed Smith when he walked the entire community and went door to door back in the 90s. It was one of the number one quality of life, quality of place issues then. People are still actively promoting that removal today, and there is another study out there. I'm just asking the simple question, do you support removal of train horn noise in Carroll?
I don't think that my personal feeling about it matters. I think it's collectively what people in Carroll would want to happen. I'm not opposed to the train horn removal. I think that everybody hears the trains. They tend to be loud and obnoxious at some points. Would I be opposed to continuing to look at the studies to do that? No. No problem continuing to learn more about removing the train horn.
I feel the same way. It's what's it going to cost? What are we looking at? Has anybody put a so you
could be anywhere
said
from
800,000
to 1.5 million.
Wow, that's a lot of money.
That total the whole town.
And trains have gone through this community for how many years?
Forever.
26.
I'm just saying, it's been a long time we've dealt with it.
Yep. Yes or no is all I'm asking for. I don't want to have to get into a debate, but
I'm just neutral.
I've got a lot of, okay.
Neutral.
Clay?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Kyle?
I'm up in the air about it. But there's a lot more factors that go into it too, I guess. So.
Yeah, I can't answer yes or no on that. It's I know on 5 and 6 in the golf course I'm in, I remove them. It cost me a few strokes. Other than that,
I've been on record as being against mitigating train noise because of the expense that it would incur at the time. And in past studies, what we've found is that what I have felt is that great to remove train noise, but every one of the options that you go with causes another inconvenience for Carroll, like shutting down Maple Street's exit, or a crossing. And so because of that in the past, I've been opposed to changing it because I thought, here you get rid of something here, which is great, but you create a new problem. So that's been my opposition. However, we do have a study again that is coming out right now that's open for review and will be considered very soon, and I will not say that I wouldn't find an option in there that's viable, but I believe in the end I will probably be opposed to spending the money on mitigating train noise.
Adam, I hear it too, you know, the call for it. The 2019 city survey that went out, of the 392 respondents, only 54% supported it. And that is the majority, it's simple majority, but I, for one, would want it to go public referendum, which of course would require 60%. And if you're gonna ask me yes or no, I would vote against it. I would vote no for it. Because I certainly wouldn't want to increase taxes, which is a huge leg of my platform. I wouldn't increase taxes to do it. If we can find creative ways to take it from other buckets, you know, let's consider it. But if the people want it, then let's go. Game on.
Another rapid fire question?
Yes.
Did I answer that how you wanted me to answer? I mean, at least yes or no?
Yep. So the Carroll Economic Development Group for the last 30 years has promoted the four-laning of Highway 30 from Carroll to Ogden. Do you support our initiative to try to get Carroll to Ogden four-lane? Yes or no?
I think I always have. You know, I've had a business on Highway 30, and Highway 30 is the corridor in and out of this city. I mean, despite what you might want to say about 71, but the Highway 30 is, you know, certainly our main artery. And if it can be done, then I think as mayor, I would certainly support your efforts. You have done layman's work on it, Adam, and I commend you for it because, frankly, how many years have you been on it? 15? At least?
Yeah, good 12 that I've been president. I've been on it for 15 years.
So, yeah, I mean, I would support it, you know, in any way possible in terms of, you know, FaceTime or whatever means necessary to do so.
Okay. Jerry?
Yes, I would support it. And if I were mayor, I would, one of the first things I'd do is go to you, Adam, and say, what can I do to help advocate for this? And as you know, I said at a meeting that you and I were at that my pharmacy is called Lincoln Highway Pharmacy after what it's named, and I'd rather have the option of changing it to double-laned Highway 30 Pharmacy. So, yes, I definitely would support your efforts. I think that's a very important thing. I'd just as soon have it be all the way to Missouri Valley, not just Ogden to Carroll.
Baby steps.
And this would stay where it is now. It wouldn't be a bypass, correct?
Right.
I would support that, yeah. I think it's going to have one way or the other, so I don't want to hurt downtown businesses. I don't want to hurt any current businesses in Carroll, but I think, you know, people avoid towns that you can't get through, you know. So the other options don't, I don't want to go through Carroll. You can't get through Carroll. So, yeah, I'd support it.
Okay.
Yes, I would be 100% about it. I think of businesses that it would potentially bring to town, people, and then, you know, I drive Highway 30 to Coon Rapids every day from here to Glidden, and that road is just packed full of cars, so I'm 100% for something like that. I would want to know the cost for it, and I'd want the people to know the cost as well.
Clay?
Absolutely.
Tom?
Absolutely, as long as it did not bypass.
Okay. Okay. JJ?
Yes.
Okay. Got any other questions? You want me to keep going?
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Pat.
I'd just like to ask how you see, someone mentioned the population not changing over the years. And I would like to see what's your plan, what's your economic development plan to keep Carroll progressive. We have, we really do have a lot of wonderful attributes in the community. One thing, I'm a little hurt you failed to mention the wonderful library we now have, along with the rec center and the golf courses. I, for one, also enjoy the trails. The new trail that the city put in from St. John's Church up, joining the up all the way to the outdoor recreation fields. And I think our green space, in my opinion, needs to remain on that. But what do you see to improve the growth and progression, economic development of Carroll?
Can I ask that person, since that was me?
I'll just give you guys one little bit of information. Maybe you hadn't followed it, but we were at 10,103 the last two censuses. We're now at 10,300 and change. So we actually have seen, since the last census, a change of 200 and some people, which is actually probably a good step in the right direction. And more importantly, we only lost a total of 54 or 57 people in the county. So we consider that a win.
Is that a 10-year deal, 2010 to 2020?
Yes.
Is that how that was?
Yes. So we increased almost 200 people in the city of Carroll in the last 10 years. So
my question remains.
I don't, and this is me speaking, I don't see the exponential growth that you would see, which we could compare to a lot of these other bigger cities. So we were compared to, like, I believe it was Spencer. We were compared to even Ankeny. These are towns that are growing. We do have great amenities, and I don't have the right answer for you, but like you said, the CD, I mean, the accountability part of it when you spend all this money is, what is your end result? What do you get in return for having all this money spent on the organizations? Where do we go from here? We lost JCPenney's. How many jobs were lost in that? Where did they get picked up? That was probably an incredible tax revenue. Even on a Sunday afternoon, the downtown area was full from out-of-town shoppers. What are we doing to replace that? How are we going to get that back?
Can't answer a question with a question.
I know. Well, no, I'm just saying this is where I'm coming from to try to figure it out.
So I guess my question to you is, have you formulated a direction or a plan that you would like to see the city adopt?
No.
Okay.
I have personally contacted TJ Maxx right before somebody else did to see if they would come. That's how passionate I was about keeping it going. I know that's an important... The downtown is an important attribute to this town. It's a beautiful town. It's a beautiful downtown.
Okay.
That shops a lot. So I don't have the right answer, but that's
okay.
My answer.
Okay.
My answer would be that no, I don't have a plan formulated either.
Okay.
No, you can finish. However, I guess kind of like Tom, like we spend the money to have CADC do this. We're relying on them to go out and do these studies, research, try to attract new businesses into town. Where are we at with that? What have they done to develop any new businesses coming to Carroll?
Boy, you ask a really great question.
Thanks, Clay.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's an important question.
It is.
Not to make light of it.
No, not at all. But I think it's going to be a tough one for any one of us to answer. The fact is that the city is already pursuing means with CADC to try to forward businesses in Carroll. But this is not just a linear equation. In order to have new businesses come to town or be sustained, we need more workforce. For more workforce, we need more and different housing. Now, I'm not trying to say we should turn Carroll into a slum, but We need workforce. We need people who can come, who can do everything from pass us our coffee out the drive-through window in the morning, babysit our kids and take care of them at daycares throughout the day, and educate our children. Take care of our elderly at the many assisted living facilities we have in town. We want to grow and we want things to be bigger. Adam, you're right. A couple hundred people, big win. Big win. It could have been 1,000 less. God help us all, but we managed to not only keep it level, but we got up just a little bit for our population. So I think we've got huge challenges in workforce housing, and we have to keep working to develop both of those in order to have a workforce that we can then continue to draw in those key businesses to the community. And I'd echo what these two said. They're exactly right. The downtown is so key to Carroll. It is a very unique and beautiful spot.
I would say for a planned place, no, but when I just look back as being the youngest person sitting up here, when I was in school, ask how many young people plan on returning back to Carroll, and I would say 80% of them have no plans to return back to Carroll. One, you've got to figure out how do you get the young population to return back to Carroll, to their hometown, to make it continue to make it great, draw new businesses in, and for the housing unit that's going to go behind New Hope Village, I think that's a home run. To be able to have somebody come in and build homes, to build the population up. Now we just have to get the jobs here for them.
I think Carroll is disadvantaged in a way with its vicinity to Des Moines, its vicinity from Omaha, and thirdly from Amazon. Shopping locally in Carroll and bringing business like Home Depot or TJ Maxx or whoever you want to talk about, people travel. They'll go to Des Moines on a Wednesday morning just to go to Jordan Creek. They'll get on their computer and order from Amazon. So to look at Carroll as all of a sudden, well, we're going to bring in Home Depot or Lowe's and we're going to be a town of 15,000. I don't think that's ever going to happen in Carroll. I don't want to be a pessimist about it, but Carroll's been Carroll for a long time. We are a regional shopping center, but we aren't a Des Moines, and we aren't an Omaha, and I don't think we're ever going to be. I was in Minnesota this summer, and I went to a town of 13,000 people that had a Costco, Applebee's, Home Depot, TJ Maxx. And I said to my wife, how can this be? This is Bemidji, I think, is where we were. Well, the thing is, there's nothing close. I mean, that is their Des Moines up in northwest Minnesota. So I think where we're located on a map is keeping our population where it is. So.
What's already been going on at city council and city government level is where I'm at with plans to help the town to grow. And by that I mean we've been very big in trying to improve things in the Grand Park area because that's just a focal point for this city. Trails are very important. I see people using the trail back behind Fairview every day. Back there's someone on that thing, so that's and then it, finishing that out would be a goal of mine. The workforce that we are going to have to look to keep here or grow in this town, I think, is the trend toward working from your home, computer-based businesses working at your home, like American Home Shield, that they have a lot of workers there at home. We want somebody to be choosing to have their home in this town, to keep their home in this town because this is where they can work. They're going to choose to work and live in Carroll. Now, what we can offer as advantages over other cities, there's plenty. A low crime rate, for one thing, compared to other cities, especially things closer to the larger population areas. We want to do anything that can encourage people to recognize what a small town has to offer. And what it really has to offer is things for kids, a safe environment for children, anything that can lead toward that, I'm on board with.
Pat, when you first asked that question, I was thinking a little bit more along population lines. When I moved here, it was 10,000. It's still 10,000. I thought we were going to get into a pro-life, pro-choice discussion because that's what's changed dramatically, not just in Carroll, but all over our country, is when I first moved here, there wasn't the expanded Collison addition, there wasn't the Gretiman addition, there wasn't the Timber Creek addition, there wasn't the Amy Avenue Mayberry addition, and I've thought to myself over the years, where's the people? I mean, I'm seeing the housing growing and so on, but where's the people? Well, it's smaller families. I mean, yeah. We raised two, and everybody on the block when I moved here had seven, so again, we can't influence that, but we can influence the economic development part of your question, and that's something that, I obviously believe very strongly in, being a business leader here all these years, and that we need economic development, and thinking outside of the box. I would want to take a rather exhaustive approach, open-minded approach, and sit down with my friend Jim Allen at the CADC and say, what are we doing today? What would you like to do moving forward? And what can we do as a city beyond financial support? Because I'm not quite sure, like it was raised over there earlier, I'm not quite sure what our ROI is on that yet. I was involved with it heavily at the county because you gotta remember the county's primary charge is not approving the budget or manure management. It's economic development. And I know of cases that opportunities have come to the CADC before they came to the county or to the city. And we are the elected officials, Pat, not those folks. So I want to make sure that we have a much stronger voice with what's going on with economic development, with our partners. I'm not by any means saying we're going to abandon those relationships or anything, but I want to take a real exhaustive, in-depth look at the activities and what it's providing for us today. And the other final thing that I'll say quickly is I will take a very aggressive approach to offering incentives, not subsidies, there's a little difference there, but incentives to more building opportunities for our builders, particularly our local builders that have built this town, but also to outside interests like this 111-acre home run. And I want to make sure that we have, I think the city did move well on, help me with this a little bit, but they now encompass the entire city as far as offering incentives, a tax abatement, for improvements and stuff like that. Because, Pat, it's all about taxable valuation.
I understand that.
And so
when
we
talk about return on investment, I'm sure you, all the candidates are well aware of that fine line of a return on investment of a rec center, a library, an equipment shed. Like, I know that equipment shed was being discussed way back when I was on my first term on the library board and we were meeting at city council meetings. But those types of return on investments as well.
Absolutely.
That make this infrastructure of this community strong well.
Yeah. Nice streets alone doesn't sell.
It's a culmination of everything.
Right. And it's not very, sexy, but it all comes together. Absolutely.
Thank you. For your thoughts on that.
You're welcome.
This city council is meeting, your meetings are open since COVID and all that again, aren't
well,
they?
They're limited how many can be there, of course.
Okay.
It'd be great if hundreds of people wanted to show up, but there isn't room for that.
Yeah.
So they're all available on Zoom. You can attend easily that way, and they are more open than during the COVID time that we shut it down completely. But yeah, there is an opportunity. Unfortunately, or fortunately, I better say fortunately, not that many people show up. It's a little less stressful when there's only one or two people there. At least you know what they're there for. If you have a big group, you're sort of like, what do they want to be here for? What's their agenda? But great, the more people we can have, the better, that take an interest in city government, whether it be directly by going to the meetings, or we've been very good about keeping people in the loop with other ways.
You know, so, tagging on to that just real quick, pardon me. I've seen Mr. Norgaard and Mr. Beardmore at the council meetings thus far. I'd love to see the rest of you come and attend the meetings up through the election, just so you can firsthand see what's going on in here. Please come join us.
Just to add, I mean, they're on the TV every, you know.
They are.
So when I'm sitting at home, they're on. It's.
Can you see us if we watch on Zoom?
Yeah.
I can see if you watch on Zoom. I can't see you if you watch on YouTube,
yeah,
or on
the
TV.
I hope not.
I'm glad you're watching, JJ. That's excellent. But love to have you come down and be there and participate. Just please come down and join us.
So scientific studies show that if you soften a community's water, it is less hard on the city's infrastructure, as well as private citizens' infrastructure. And right now we're staring down a $8 million upgrade at our wastewater treatment facility on copper mitigation due to EPA regulations, nothing that can be done about that. And if we were to soften the water, scientific studies state that we would be able to cut back on some of the future upgrades beyond that $8 million that are likely to come in at us. Would you support a $2 million upgrade to our water treatment facility to soften Carroll's water?
I have to learn more. I just found out about that just barely about a month ago. You can remember, you and I exchanged a lot of dialogue about the new wells, which mm-hmm. gives us good drinking water, mm-hmm. but now we're talking about discharge. And I have enough experience with the watersheds from the county and Des Moines Water Works and all of that stuff. I want to investigate that personally. I want to find out how much of it is political, how much of it is driven by things that may not be truly required. But let's face it, if we got to do it, we got to do it. And we got to find the means in which to pay for it. And that, again, is quite critical on how I would move forward with that.
Adam, you're ahead of me on this issue, but this is fantastic.
Copper.
Yeah, copper, I know, but the softening the water I'm not as familiar with, but I do know this. We've got some major expenses coming up in our water treatment facility. It's sort of like what you'd call an unfunded mandate, really.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so that's going to be a big challenge for us. But boy, if there's a way I'd love to learn more about this, and I'm sure I will in the near future. But I don't know enough to properly comment for you at this time. All I can say is I'm open-minded to something that sounds like you've done your homework on, and I'd love to know more.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't like these guys. I have never heard of it. I'm not going to talk around the issue, so let's move on.
I'm the same way. I don't know a lot about it. My only question was, with the copper mitigation or copper issues that are high, how is it going to affect older homes in town that have copper pipes? Is that something that they're going to have to get rid of? I think that's going to be very transparent to people as well.
Oh, Adam, my friend. Boy, you have the good question there. I am aware of this. I do know what's going on. Welcome to one of the really good, hard questions for city government. For here today, we managed to mention that we thought a rec center shouldn't have 24-hour access because its local businesses provide the solution with other gyms. Hard choice. We have two soft water service providers in this town that I know of. So do we hurt two local businesses in order to benefit the overall people of Carroll? I know both of these businesses. I think a lot of them. And Adam, you're exactly right. You soften that water. And Kyle, to your point, and you'll pick this up later, but copper is less eroded by the softer water. And it's sickening to me. We can feed you here in Carroll more copper than we can pee out into the discharge. And it just frustrates me to no end, and it's going to get tighter and tighter.
The need for home-based water softeners, most people will continue those, even if the city softens it, because it doesn't soften it to the level. So I wouldn't be as worried about those local businesses. But to your point, I know it's a perception issue.
I'm worried about it still, and I would maintain mine along with my treatment system that gives me my drinking water spigot that I like,
right?
Because that gets me to the level of service that I want. But yeah, it's really tricky, and to answer the question simply, yeah, I would support it. Costs need to be considered, and it needs to be funded, but that comes from a separate line of revenue.
Correct.
Than the general operations, also from our wastewater fund. So it is something the council has been adjusting, and no one likes to see it, but water and wastewater rates have gone up a little bit across some time, and that's because we're trying to prepare for more and more costs associated with getting our wastewater discharge under control. I'd support looking at water softening. That's a tricky one. That's a good one.
Tom? This is the first I've heard of it, but that was the first thing that came up into my mind. If we're going to produce soft water, which you just said, it's not going to be as soft that people will bypass it, or will it be as soft where people can say, I don't need that anymore, and two businesses go out of business, or their revenue goes down to minimal and they lay off people because there's not enough business to support them. That's hard for me. But this is, like I said, this, I'd have to do more investigation on it and just stay neutral, because I don't know what the finances or the logistics on it or timeline. Is it something that could down the road save us $20 million by spending X amount of dollars today? Yes, but in the same sense, is it worth putting people out of business and saying, oh well, city said so. So, I mean, I get there's casualties of war, but I'm just gonna stay neutral on it, so.
We'd be beautiful, but in maybe not realistic to think that we could source that salt from the providers in town. Just depends on costs there, but for sure, even if we maintain our systems in our homes, our usage of salt goes down in homes. So that would be my optimum, is okay, we're gonna take that salt sale away from you, but can we find a way to buy it from you so that we keep that in your revenue stream?
I can't talk about what I don't know about, so I'm just gonna be honest and say I don't know enough about it to answer that question, so I'll stay neutral.
Fair enough. Okay, I think we're going to do closing statements now, so just briefly close anything up that you'd like to, and we can start wherever you want.
I always say ladies first, guys. What do you think?
I prefer to start with Mark. They went this way at the beginning, so let's go this way.
Yeah, I really don't care. You're going to hear it from me anyway. Listen, you vote for Beardmore, you know what you're going to get. I haven't, you know, changed my spots any in the years I've lived here. I'm a hardcore fiscal conservative. I have great leadership skills, and I think a rather unique set of skills to bring to city council and as your mayor. Remember how I feel about issues. I appreciate your asking, but these are the ones that have the heavy lifting. They're the ones that vote on the issues. We break very few ties, and almost inconsequential stuff. So please put your focus primarily on these new council candidates, because they're the ones that are going to do the heavy lifting. But as for me, you know, since I survived this thing, I have reached deep and high to my Lord and said, what is my renewed purpose in life? I mean, you spared me. And so I've been searching for a sense of purpose. This may or may not be it. God is my campaign manager. He's going to let me know the night of November 2nd. And if this is my purpose, I will give you 100% of what Mark Beardmore can do, and I think I've proven that time and time and time again here. So when you woke up this morning, you probably didn't think that you might help me fulfill a full circle in life that I think this is how I'd like to finish things out. And as your mayor, I will aim to do so. So I would appreciate your vote and any other support you can offer between now, and please make sure you get people out to vote. And thank you for your time, and thanks to Rotary.
I'm really appreciative of everybody that's chosen to run, because there probably aren't enough people that do, including Adam, Adam, I'm looking at you, Adam, I'm sorry, and I'm thinking of mayors, including Mark. He's probably the only one I kind of wish wasn't running, because I'd rather run unopposed.
Same.
But exactly. And he doesn't want me running either, I know that. But I think we both appreciate that each other for actually choosing to run for this position. I'm convinced that we do. But a major role of the mayor is to be a consensus builder. I think I have the ability to be that. Terrence, I know that I have the ability to be a consensus builder between whatever the makeup of this council ends up as at the end of this election. I've worked very well with the people that have been on the council at this point, and I won't deny that. And I know there will be some new members, including someone, most likely JJ, to take my place. And one of the first things I would do after being mayor would be meet with each of them individually, if it's their so desire, to see what I can do to help them accomplish what they want being on the council. I don't just mean the new people. I mean Clay, if he continues on. I mean the other three council members that are not up for election at this time. I want to meet with each of them individually and see what we can do that's best for Carroll. I don't doubt that everyone is sincere in wanting success here. Everyone wants great success, at least as much success as I have, but I guarantee you nobody wants Carroll to be any better than me, okay? Maybe just as much, but no, nobody anymore. Thank you very much.
Again, thanks for the invitation today to the Rotary. excuse me, I'm very conservative politically. Fiscally, I have no ulterior motives for running. I'm retired. We sold our business. So my main focus would be to make Carroll, or keep Carroll, the best small town in Iowa. everybody has ideas on what to do to make that happen. I can tell you what I will do is listen to ideas from constituents I already have. And I've gone from door to door and gotten ideas. Again, Carroll is what Carroll is. In a lot of ways, we can improve. We have improved. But my number one focus, if I'm elected, will be to make Carroll the best it can be. And I'll have a lot of time to devote to doing that and not be distracted by anything other than that. I hope I get a chance to serve Carroll. My grandfather, Bill Farner, was mayor of this town for numerous years and served under urban renewal, which did a lot for Carroll back in the day. So I think he'd be proud if he saw his grandson trying to contribute. So. That's all I have. Thank you.
I want to say thanks for having me as well. When I do something, I do it 110%. And through my own business, through the business that I run for the McLaughlin Family Company, it's been that way. If I'm elected, it will be that way, 110%. I don't have any children now, but I will someday, and I want them to come back and live here. I want my family to continue to live here. I'm about making quality life better. You've got to spend money on projects like library, rec center, I think it's important for the public vote and input, and you have to take that into consideration. But quality of life to make people come here is definitely important to me, and if I'm elected, I look forward to serving you guys.
Thank you all for having us here with you today. It's great to see the Rotary Club. I have missed you all. Glad to see some new faces along with some of the old familiar faces. You know, this is our home. Carroll is our home. It has been my privilege to serve you over the last 8 years. I have experience. I keep abreast of the different issues going on. I make sure that I do my homework and study for you. If you would please, and you live in Third Ward, get out and vote for Haley for Ward 3. Vote Carroll first. You're up now.
I'm up. I want to thank every one of you personally. Didn't know what to expect coming out here. I really didn't. You know, it's my first event into politics, and it's pretty interesting. You know, as I get older, your values and concerns become more relevant. When you're growing up and learning through life, a lot of this stuff doesn't really matter, or at some point you just start to pay attention and wake up a little bit, and you watch your bottom line, you figure out where stuff's going and coming and going and coming and going. It's important to me to help Carroll grow. When I started my business, I didn't know what to think. I had a lot of naysayers. I had a lot of people say, you're crazy. I'm like, well, then let me be crazy for a while. I just want to do it. I'd never planned on expanding and then expanding again and continuing to hire more people, but that's where we're at. Learning this whole system and even getting into politics, it warms me to have people come to me that never knew me before. And as many of you know, I'm not a Carroll native. I'm a Jefferson transplant into Carroll. I hung out over here a lot in high school, and I'll share that with you. From when I was a freshman and able to drive, and even prior to that, we had friends that would drive our mopeds over here from Jefferson.
So, oh my God.
I find that interesting, but it was the thing to do because Carroll was a place to hang out. Anderson Pizza, we just had to come over to Anderson Pizza and get ice cream and pizza all the time. But I've always enjoyed Carroll. I gravitated back to Carroll. I'm not going anywhere. I love Carroll. I want to see it continue to grow. I want to bring more people downtown. I've always had a dream of, you know, every day trying to bring 200 to 300 people downtown every day just on a normal basis. And my dream came true. Now I want to see 300 to 500 people come downtown. And to reiterate what Kyle said, I'm 110% of what I do. I'm all in. I'm either at stop or full on. So I'm here for the city. I'm here for the people. Vote for me. Please get out and vote. That's the hardest part of this whole campaign thing that I've seen is you talk to a lot of people, and even the ones that have come to me have said, you know, we want you to go do it. And I'm like, who did you vote for last time? And they're like, well, we didn't. I said, well, then that's the big problem. You've got to get out and vote. This is how this all works. So if everybody could just take 15 minutes out of their lives and go vote, you'd be amazed what you could change in the world, even in just Carroll. So, like I said, I appreciate all you guys have done for me so far, you know, as supporting me downtown. Yeah, I just want to thank you guys. Get out and vote.
Good?
I'm good.
Okay. So, for me, I came here 14 years ago from Storm Lake. This was supposed to be a quick stop. Recruited here to, you know, by my mentor, my professor to come start my law enforcement career here, and I immediately fell in love with Carroll and knew that this is where it was going to be. This was home from now on. I haven't given a second thought about leaving. I think with my history and working for the city and knowledge of city government and how it operates, I have a lot to contribute there. I'm sure there's a lot left to learn. I think Phil and Jerry and Clay, you can all say you thought it was going to be one thing. You walked in the door and there's a whole lot more to learn. I think that I am at that point. I started here within a few years, gave my life, gave my everything to learn everything that I could to be promoted and continue to work hard for the city. So I guess that's kind of where I'm at, is that I can continue to work hard for the city that we all love and do what's right for the citizens of Carroll.
If I could just say one thing, Kyle, you mentioned